Our panel Q&A for Wanshu Church. So what we did yesterday, thank you to everybody for turning in questions. We looked at all the questions and we kind of grouped them into categories. And we hope that this Q&A will answer all of your questions. And if it doesn't, and you still have more questions, and you would like the pastor kind of to elaborate more, please feel free to write it down and turn it into the Q&A, which we'll have tomorrow. So we'll have some of these questions projected on the slide. Yes. Get the copy of the questions? The answers, no, because they're going to answer it during the panel, and then you guys can take notes with the questions, but the questions will be projected here, and I'm sure we can print out the questions. Okay. All right, so pastors, you're ready. Thank you. Okay, so for the first one, we categorized it into responding to arguments against one true church. And the first question is, God loves the world, which stated in John 3:5. Why is it that there are so few TJC members compared to non-TJC? And why couldn't God just open up other Christian denominations to save the world? So we'll just kind of, we'll do a volunteer, if whoever would like to volunteer to answer this first.
In fact, the disciple of Jesus Christ also asked the same question too. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 22 to 24. At that time, there was many Jews also considered chosen people of God, but Jesus Christ only chose some Jews out of so many Jews to be his disciple and to know Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, the disciple asked this question. Chapter 14, verse 22 says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. If you feel like Jesus did not answer the disciples' question directly, then that's your answer. Jesus is only focused on, you were chosen. Now, you have a choice, whether you love and obey or don't obey. Okay? So, in a way, Jesus did not directly answer why he did not reveal so many people, or why he only chose some people, not everybody. Okay? And if we are chosen, we should count ourselves blessed and make sure that we obey and go to heaven. Okay?
Any supplements?
In John chapter 3, 5, God loves the world, so that's why Jesus died for all men. Right? So whoever believes will be saved. So he loved everybody. But the problem is, not everybody wants to receive or accept his love. So why is that there are so few TJC members compared to non-TJC? Jesus already mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, two ways, right? Two doors. So the little gate, the rough way, always contain much less people compared with the big gate, the good, the smooth way. So from the historical fact, we can also prove that those who are saved are much less numbered. Just like the entire family of Israel, how many can be saved, right? So the remnant, a small number, compared with the whole the house of the Israel. So I think also from the Old Testament we can see those who are saved usually are the, not that much, only small. So how precious we are, right?
Yeah, so the door of salvation is open for everybody, but we have to pay a price, and not many people are willing to pay a price. And from the example of Noah's generation, he preached so many years, but nobody believed. It did not because God don't love them, because they don't care. Yeah. So if anyone who are willing to enter the narrow gate and walk on the very rough path, and it can be safe. So it's open for everybody.
The question second say, why couldn't God open up other Christian denominations to save the world? I don't know why, but this is God's way. God made people to have free choices. You decide to follow His way or walk on your own way. So God doesn't force people to do certain things. This is your choice, but you pay price, right? Whoever wanted to follow Him suffer just like Him, then will be saved. It's God's way.
How about those members who, members of our church who have lost faith because of the lack of miracles in our church? How can we explain to them that we are still the one true church?
This way.
Okay. Who have lost faith in God because of the lack of miracles? Is it true? If in the U.S. we don't see many miracles, but as TJC, a big family in Christ, we still witness so many different miracles happen in other places, right? So in China, in Africa, in India, everywhere, we can just look at our church website. In different regions, you can access to view their testimonies. There are so many wonderful testimonies. You know? So if the church in the USA are lack of the miracles, the problem is because we have a very, very blessed life, we have so many resources to rely on, right? And because we have good life, so we are lack of faith in Jesus. But for those who have no any other choices, rely on God's only way, right? So they pray in every circumstance, and then we see the miracles. Okay, so my suggestion is, look at the other regions about the testimonies. We will see how many miracles happen in TJC. from just look at here and say, oh, how come we say we are the true church? No, actually, we are so blessed. So many miracles, I think, other co-workers can supplement.
We always preach in the pulpit that in convocation that true church has three criteria: truth, Holy Spirit, and miracle. Okay, the church need to possess these three qualities, and miracle is just one of them. Maybe it doesn't happen often, let's say in Cerrito, but doesn't mean it happens in some places else. Okay. So you can't say because there's no miracle here, therefore we're not one true church. But from the question, the person who lost faith in God, very likely that person do not experience God. Okay? They haven't been touched by God. So therefore they lost faith. Okay? And so why people don't experience God? It must be something to do with the way they worship God or the motive of worshiping God. Do they obey God? Just like which we just read John chapter 14, verse 22 to 24. If anybody obey Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and Jesus Christ will dwell in their hearts, will manifest to him. So that person should experience. So instead of saying, I don't have any experience, don't doubt the church, but look at what we did wrong that prevent us from experiencing God. That's probably more a proper way to help him.
Okay. The question say, because lack of miracles, I would like to read two, three verses to see whether the statement is true. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And 17, and those signs, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they will take up serpent, and if they drink anything deadly, it will have no means but hurt them. And they will lay hand on the sick, and they will recover. Are you sure we have no miracle? Look, 17, what does it mean? They will speak new tongues. What does that mean? They will speak new tongue. What does that mean? Holy Spirit. Did you receive Holy Spirit? Yes. Is that a miracle? Every day, every time we pray, miracle happen. Right? We receive Holy Spirit. How come you say we have no miracles? Right? Even cast out the demon. There are many, many incidents happening in the United States. Even Irvine. I think at least we have two, three cases. Pray there and Satan was cast out. Even recently, there's a true seeker been bothered by Satan. Everybody pray for them, and they become calm, and Satan did not come to bother them anymore. So we do have miracles. The statement is not true. Every time we pray, we receive Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's a miracle. Oh. The second, in the ancient time, miracle talk about the blind regain the sight, right? The crippled then can walk. Oh. And now, look into the big environment, it's so bad, and we still can hold our faith until today. It's a miracle, right? If it is not because God's work, most of you will not be here. No. It's a miracle in the holiday season. Instead of go have fun outside and you come to the church. It's a work of God. So I firmly believe God is working. And there's a lot of miracle in every prayer, in every day. Thank God for that. So this statement probably is not very true. Okay, finish.
How about those of us who, other than the lack of miracles that they believe it's true, how about they think of one true church, have our church having a lot of problems, or We lack a lot of things that other churches have, like lack of love or willingness to serve or to preach boldly. So as a one true church, then, why is it that we can, that might happen?
Okay, number three, right? The third question. It depends how you look at it. Today, you go to eat lunch, right? Who cooked the food? Some brothers and sisters serve with love, right? How do your parents or you come to believe? Somebody preach gospel to you, right? So how can there not be lacking love or lacking preaching in the church? Right? And I think this person is talking about, usually people, oh, look at that church, right? They help the homeless, so many, and they make it very big, right? Or, oh, that this church is very emphasized evangelism so much that the entire church, you know, go out to preaching, pass out pamphlets, or two by two, knocking on people's door. Okay, so we are talking about certain aspect or certain way of doing things, okay? But Chuji Church is doing preaching and also practice love. But you can't just some churches devoted more resources in a certain area. But it's not to say that we don't do it. Okay? If they emphasize, let's say 100 people, they focus, put 98 people into evangelism, some parts they cannot do. So I'm just saying, it's not fair to compare how come that person's church has so much love. But it's almost like, it's not correct way to compare.
So he said, why is it that we only contend or follow the truth that is from the Bible, but we lack the many things other churches have? If we contend the truth, our brother and sister can walk in the truth, then this statement will be not true, right? So the problem is not... Say, these are different things, actually. Because the truth is there. Truth, because the Holy Spirit reveal this mystery to us. So we understand how important the Holy Spirit is. Speaking in tongues, you know, walk in to walk the truth, miracles happen by faith. Okay? So if we really concerned about, we are not doing enough, then this what we're supposed to do. We change. We walk in the truth. We show love to others. But it's nothing to say, oh, the church is not true. No. It's because we are not perfect. That's why we are learning. So when we say we are true church, we don't proclaim we are perfect already. But truth is there. Just like a pastoral church, the apostles or the disciples in that time, they are also not perfect yet, right? They learn from the teaching of Jesus and then practice. So even at that time, the church contained so many different problems. You know? Some even, they show partiality, right? They treat someone higher because they have good clothing, they look with high status, so they receive more honors, right? But you look back at TJC here, I witnessed how much love our brothers show to others. You know, sometimes we don't get involved enough, or we don't serve the church more, not enough. That's why we don't see the love of brothers and sisters. The more we serve, then the more we see how our members, they dedicate life and the willingness to serve just right here in front of our eyes. We don't pay anything. But every day, someone come in to serve. to make sure the event just taking the right place here. Just like, for example, CYSC here. This year, supposed to be held in different churches because, say, the facility here is not sufficient to make us a comfortable living condition. But the members in Cerritos, they consider this is the way we serve to the church, to brothers and sisters. So they come up with a willing heart to say, we want to host this CYS here in Cerritos. So they want to serve, to cook, you know, to prepare everything for us to enjoy this week. Is this not love? Is this not a willing awareness of to serve? What so-called what is love? Right? So we observe it and then we see, wow, they sacrifice that much just to make sure we can have a good environment to learn and to equip ourselves. It's love. Right? And that preach body is what we learn here. Preaching the gospel. See what I see the theme, right? Let's do it. Then this statement will become false.
When Jesus Christ said, all the commandments can be summed up with two words, right? Love God with all your mind, all your soul, all your heart, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. We use this as a standard to compare with ourselves, with the church. We do have room to improve. All means 100%. We are not 100% yet, so we have room to improve. But if we state we lack of love, we have no love, that statement is not true at all. It's not true. First, we look into love God itself. You look into the United States, we have right now 30 churches and house of prayer. Except, right now, let me think about it. Except San Diego House of Prayer and Chino Valley. Right, all the churches and house prayer already have their own chapel. You look into the recent two examples, East Bay, East Bay Church, and also Flushing Church. Flushing Church, the purchase price is about 1.5 or 1.6 million. They require to have cash. And within 2 months, all the churches in the United States support and we pay in cash. In East Bay, we pay in cash. True Jesus Church is only one of a few churches never receive financial aid from other denominations. We are independent. Ever since we become established in 1917, in China, there are only two churches never receive foreign aid. One is True Jesus Church. So the love of Jesus, love of member to the church, is very strong. Where is your money? Is your heart? Right? So we have room to improve. But if we say we lack of love, it's not true. And look into our church, we have room to improve. We need to have fellowship. How come the other church that people feel more love because they emphasize on fellowship, and then they are very open. They will tell you, I miss you, I love you, but our member is more conservative. They love in heart. But when a member have a need, they just secretly pray for them because we always say, right, when you do your right hand do the good work, do not let the left hand know, right? Because of this, a lot of members, they do a lot of charity work, never let the left hand know, even their spouse don't know it. All right? In other denominations, when they do the charity work, they take a picture and post it. Everybody know it. So we do have room to improve. But if we say we lack of love, that's not true. That's my answer.
I want to supplement one thing. It depends how you think. It's the mentality. It's relative. For example, you can take the best out there and compare Judas in the church. Okay? Or you can take the best what we have in church,
compared with somebody worse out there. See, it never ends. Depending on which side you want to stand on. You want to stand on the side that to critique the church, put down the church, or you want to stand on the side of the church. So we have to be neutral. We have to look at things unbiased.
Okay. You know, regarding the love, you compare on Sabbath, how many hours our members spend in the church to serve each other with the other denomination. They attend Sunday's worship in 1 hour. They came in to be served, listen to the sermon, and then they left. Okay? So the things, the need, they just have someone to pay money and then someone to come in to do it professionally. Like a food, right? In TJC, Sabbath, we always have a meal, love meal. Who make it? Most of church, unless it's lack of the equipment, otherwise, our member coming to cook, to serve. But you compare other denomination, what did they do? They pay it, and then someone come in to serve. They don't have to really do it, but with money, right? You know, some church even have their own business. But every single penny in TJC, our members offer it. Every dollar in GAs, all from our churches offering. You know? So everyone, you know, some our brother sister in New York, they labor that much every day maybe working for 12 hours and earn maybe $8, $10 an hour. They earn with their labor, and then they overtithe. Even more, if church in need purchase the chapel, more than $1 million, they over. See? So who have more love? You think in depth and think about other members, their love. Oh, I just cannot accept, say, TJC member are lack of love. How can we make this kind of the mistake? Okay, so let's see the fact, the truth. Yes, we have to be even better. But let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Our members, actually, they are very devoted to serve in the church, to love their best, love though with their best. Okay, yeah, this is my supplement.
How about when you do see members, we understand that, yes, the church has love. How about members that treat each other with no love? So they've been hurt by members of the church.
We have to look into the things from a different perspective. You know, in the other denomination, how long do they stay in the church? In Sunday? 1 hour, right? After 1 hour finish, you go your own way. I go my own way. Then there will be no problem. The problem... you have only 1 hour spent together. The problem is, when we start to emphasize we are one family, right? And Sabbath from Friday sunset until Saturday sunset, we have to spend time together. And everybody has different personality, has different kind of character. And a lot of time it was difficult, and it takes time to accept each other. From this aspect, we do have a room to improve. But we also have a lot of moving, touching story. So we cannot magnify a small portion or one church of the shortcoming and represent every church is unfair. Yeah, some of the churches, they are loving and caring. One day, one of the mothers approached me. He said, oh, I think my son studied in San Diego. I said, why? Because he really enjoyed it. And every time I went to San Diego, I really liked it. It really, like, very close, a big family. Oh, So if we say our church has a lot of problem, people don't have love at this San Diego church, people will protest.
Okay, thank you. So nowadays, with society being so accepting to everything, and there's no partiality, and everybody should be treated equally, and then to say that there is only one true church, why? How do we respond to this? This is question number four.
Question number four says, how do we respond to people who think TJC is a cult? Why is there a stigma with the concept of one true church? Why can't other Christians accept the fact? Okay, I'd like to respond to this question about why there is a stigma with the concept of one true church. What happened is from apostolic church until 16th century, there's always a concept of one true church. In fact, from 4th century to 16th century, basically the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, had monopoly. They insist that they are the one true church. If anybody kind of go against it, the Roman Catholic Church will persecute them and kill them. And so that's why when Martin Luther reformed the church, there's a lot of killing. For example, in history, in Germany, there were 30 years of religious war. The country will reduce. After 30 years, the population was half. There's a lot of killings, okay? Both sides killing each other. And so at that time, what happened was the concept of one true church was very strong. But because of this a lot of killing, there's many different denominations appearing after the modern Luther Reformation. And so after a lot of killing, people said, enough, enough, okay? Let's not kill each other. You accept me, I accept you, so we don't kill each other. And so that kind of concept has been carried for 400 years. Gradually, people live in peace with each other. You don't say you're right, I don't say I'm right. You don't say you are one true church, I don't say I'm one true church. So we live in peace. Okay, so that's a trend. So eventually, now if somebody say we are the one true church, no, you are a cult, everybody is the same. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just the trend has been changing, that's all. Okay. And why come to this place? Because there's a lot of killing at that time, saying we are the one true church. Okay.
I can think about two reasons. The first reason, in the academic world, it's just like a university, nothing is absolute. Everything is relative. So in the academic world, they emphasize on dialogue. The dialogue of different religion, Buddhist, Muslim, Christianity, you come and talk. And when they emphasize dialogue, it means we are equal. Even among the Christianity, they emphasize on dialogue. You are Baptist, Catholic Church, or Lutheran Church, we come and talk. When it's dialogue, then every church are equal. Yeah. But if we look into the Bible never mentioned about dialogue. The Bible mentioned about preaching the gospel. Right? So when we start to preach gospel to other denomination, and they will feel, why do you preach to me? Right? Do you think I cannot be saved? At that moment, they feel not good. So this is the first reason. The second reason, among the Christianity, they emphasize on love, so they can accept each other. We don't talk about doctrine. We only talk about the love of Jesus. But if we look into what is love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love, one of the content is rejoice in the truth. And exactly because we love other Christians in other denominations, so that's the reason we preach the gospel of salvation to them. But to them, they don't understand the gospel of salvation. And they don't understand love should be done on the foundation of truth. So they reject it. So that's the reason we can think about the stigma with the concept of one true church. Another one, True Jesus Church, the name is very irritating for them.
I think about how Paul, he preached. Right? Paul, Apostle Paul, was sent in a missionary. He went to everywhere to preach. Jesus is the only one way. Right? He is the only way. He didn't say, okay, Judaism, you can be safe, or you are okay. But he proclaimed, unless you come to Jesus, otherwise, no salvation. Right? So he proclaimed that salvation is the only one way. So this concept actually is biblical. Jesus made the same statement already. I am the way, only way to the heaven, to help for the Father, right? So if we preach the original truth, if we faithfully preach the word in the Bible, and that's what we so called the true church. So when we preach it, we explain what the Bible said, what Jesus taught us to follow. So that's why at the end, if people understand the truth, and this is the way they want to repent, they want to receive baptism, and they recognize this is a church. The church is the body of Christ, right? So we say this. Sometimes people feel that one true church is so cool and accepting. Oh, perhaps even unfair. Go back to the Bible to see how apostles, they preach the gospel. They don't say, okay, you're a different religion. So that's why Paul mentioned it in Acts chapter 17, right? In Athens. He just proclaimed, come to Jesus. Yeah? So, if people, they consider, TJC is a cult. That's what they said. But who we are, we know. So, our status, our belief, or our doctrine will not just modify because people come in as something. Right? So the problem is, we have to understand our doctrine even more in depth. So we know how to explain to the people. This is what Bible mentioned. This is original, pure gospel. Right? Let's face it. So we preach to them, accept or not. That's it. This is what apostles, they set a pattern for us to follow. So if we don't understand enough, then we study. Then we use different way to explain to them. Yes, it's only one true church because from all different aspects, we know unless we follow this pattern, otherwise, no salvation. Okay.
So,
okay. We know the culture is different from the teaching of the Bible. In the culture, we look at matter from human perspective. In the Bible, we look at matter from godly perspective. That's the difference. And the statement of B, it seems emphasize one true church is very cruel, unaccepting, perfect, even unfair. This is come from human perspective. Yeah. Yeah, if we follow the culture, we will say so. But when Jesus Christ say, if you want to be my disciple, what does that mean? Deny yourself, bear your cross, and follow me. So we have to learn, look into a matter from godly perspective. Yeah.
How about people who really know the Bible very well, how come they cannot acknowledge that our church is the one?
Okay. The answer is very simple. Ask the person to pray and receive Holy Spirit and he will understand.
Okay. Next, another group of questions. The theme is explanation of verses in the Bible. Is there a Bible verse in the Old Testament that talks about one true church?
One ark. Right? Ark. Only one.
Also one temple. Okay, and you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. God at that time told people that once you enter the land of Canaan, make sure that you find that one, the place where I put my name on there. Then you offer sacrifice there. Okay, and later on, God revealed to David. David built a temple, and people offer a sacrifice there. There's only one temple. So one temple, one ark, represent one church.
One chosen nation. Right? Let's see Deuteronomy 4.
Deuteronomy 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7, verse 8. Just, this is one family. God's children, special children. They're special. Only one. They, other nations, they don't have this teachings, right? God's law, commandment, everything. One chosen family. It's God's kingdom, only one kingdom.
Okay. There are some misconceptions of what this one body is. And so some Christians in the world, that they believe that this one body means all Christians in the world is one body. So how can we refute the claim? And how do we explain that this one body means one specific church?
You must know when you study the Ephesians, right? Chapter 1 and chapter 2, you study, and you know.
So should we just tell them, read this?
No, I challenge them.
Yesterday, Preacher Liang mentioned that Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the definition of church is that a person need to receive the blood of Jesus Christ. If he come to church for 10 years but never baptized, he's still not the church. So anybody who is a member of the body of Christ, he must receive the correct water baptism. Okay? And there's five criteria for to be baptized according to the Bible. So if, for example, in Acts chapter 19, some people were baptized by the John the Baptist, but then they had rebaptized again. Why? Because they weren't, John the Baptist did not have Holy Spirit, or he didn't baptize in the name of Jesus. So they had to receive baptized again. So this is the definition of church. It's not like everybody who confessed Jesus is the Lord is member of body of the member of Jesus' body, but baptized correctly, receive Jesus' blood.
In John 15, verse 1, you look at the branches. We do Bible prep, right? Pronounce. And then you study this section, verse 1 to verse 8. So you, the Father, you refer to a member, a disciple of Jesus. Not the denomination, yeah? So every single one have to receive the baptism, become the member of the body, right? Church is the body of Christ. Every single one is the member. Just like the true vine, we are the branches. Oh. So,
that's number three, right? Question number three.
I don't know.
How do we explain to people that different branches of the church are still one church and one body? Okay. Based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 to 27, in that context, usually that's where other denominations use the passage to say every denomination is a part of Jesus' body. But if you read the context, it's talking about members. Every member is a part of Jesus' body. It's not saying every denomination is a member of the body of Christ. It's two separate things. Because at that time, there's only one church. There's no different denominations. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, if anybody or angels preach another gospel, he had to be cursed. Okay? So at that time, there's only one gospel. If somebody preaches another gospel, that's wrong. Okay? So it's just some people misapply the concept, the Bible passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 to 27, to denomination. That's only referred to members who have same belief. These members have same belief. They didn't belong to Baptists or belong to, Methodists. At that time, there's no Methodist, there's no Baptist.
So, speaking of the apostolic church, what happened to the apostolic church since we are the revival of it? Or when did the apostolic church historically stop being the one true church? It's on the first page, on the second, the back of the first page. Since we're on this topic, we'll go into that question.
Okay, so basically the question asks, what happened to apostolic church? Okay, according to church history, okay, you see, there's not a lot of data about church in first and second century, but we have a lot of recording church history on the third century and fourth century. But then when we see the church history on the third and fourth century, we discover that the teachings had deviated. Okay, and then as you progress, the teaching, as time passed by to 1000 AD, the teaching even more deviated. And so Bible, in history, we don't see what happened to apostolic church. We only see that the church had been changed. And so the true church, the apostolic church, had disappeared. They could be changed into a church that gradually fell more and more wrong teachings.
The biblical concept of church is universal. Universal means the time, the church in apostolic era and the true Jesus church actually in the spiritual realm is one. The church in Africa, Asian, America, even there is a geographical difference, they are one. So from the biblical concept, all the church, regardless of time, regardless of space, they are all one.
First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So the church, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So the church must be the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why different denominations all hold on their own doctrine. The truth they believe. But now our problem is actually in this question, the way how we interpret the verse, right? Because now there's a different opinion. In this verse, TJC explained interpret in this way, But others, did I mention, they have different opinion. They interpret in other ways. But now, which way is the right way? Right? So, go back to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit we receive is the Holy Spirit of promise, which has been manifest through the evidence of speaking tongues, and every person who receive the Holy Spirit can touch and can be inspired by the Holy Spirit, how we has been led by the Spirit into the truth, then we can see how the verses we interpret in between Old Testament and the New Testament can interpret each other. So, because the truth is the one never changing, right? So this is the same truth in Old Testament and New Testament. There's no conflict. So that's why in TJC, through this Holy Spirit, that's why the church has been revealed through the revelation of the Heavenly Father. So Holy Spirit is the establishment. He Holy Spirit established the church. Right? That's why the way we understand the truth, we get into the spiritual meaning, and we see how important the doctrine is. For example, Sabbath. So many different denominations, they insist that Sabbath is in Old Testament, in New Testament, no need. But is it true? No, right? They say baptism, water baptism, this is just a ceremonial ritual. You don't have to really receive it. So in different ways, they baptize members. But through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we understand. So this is another matter. Say, our people are very, very good of expert in the biblical, or the just like a scholar. Wow, they know all different kind of knowledge. But unless the Holy Spirit move and reveal the truth, otherwise, even though you can recite the Bible inside out, you still cannot get the point. Right? So this Holy Spirit make the TJC and make us understand the truth. That's why we come up with this best doctrine. And the miracles and the life of our members just manifest how true the church is. This is what we can understand from this perspective. To know. So according to the God's plan, this is how this the one church being revived before the end time of the earth.
Is there a time frame that when this apostolic church historically stopped?
We cannot find in the church history clearly which year. Okay, yeah, because of lacking of the church history, church recording.
But regarding to the Holy Spirit, we can in 156 AD, there's a moment, it's called, anyone remember?
Are you talking about Montanism?
Montanism,
yeah.
Because they proclaim you have to receive the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. Otherwise, you don't have Holy Spirit. You can track back in 156 AD. This is how the first movement of the so-called the Holy Spirit, receiving Holy Spirit again. So gradually, less and less members or believers receive this Holy Spirit of promise. So they don't speak in tongues. Right? They didn't, so they were deceived by a so-called father. He's a big the minister or pastor, I don't know. Okay, so we can track back to the ear. Right? Because nobody received Holy Spirit. It's become not a common. That's why someone can say, you have to pray and Jesus is coming here.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're going to go and move into some personal questions that talk about your lives. the favorite, right? My favorite. What is the most difficult question you've been asked about One True Church, and how did you respond? This is on the first page, on the bottom of the first page. If you didn't have a very difficult question, it's okay too. You can only if you did.
No. Because everything is so clear already. This is the true church. No doubt. Right? So any question we can feed back to the Bible and to answer it. But the question is, do we believe? Right? If I believe, they may flip the Bible and say, see, it's not true. But the problem, the way they interpret, maybe not correct.
Preacher, so to me, it's...
Okay.
Preacher Long, did you have one?
It's a difficult question, huh? They were asked... how many is your membership worldwide, right? And then there were questions, out of how many billion right now? 5 billion people?
Seven.
Huh?
Seven.
7 billion? So many? Are you saying only a handful of people can be saved? And that will be very difficult to respond. Yeah.
So how did you respond?
How do I respond? My response is, please come and study with us.
How did you realize that True Jesus Church is the One True Church?
I might as well share my testimony because I went to Lutheran Church. I went to other denominations. When I was teenagers. And so I was taught with other denomination doctrines. And they told me that certain things are correct, certain things are not correct. They taught me that Bible is the only word of God where we must base our faith. That's good, right? Same as ours. But then they also taught me something wrong, saying that the moment you believe, you have Holy Spirit. And then when I come to True Church, True Church says something different. So I argue. I want to find out why True Church had this belief. So I can tell my mom. My mom's True Church member. So I want to tell my mom why I should not come to True Church. Okay. And then after examining the Bible, God opened my eyes. Sometimes it's not just you read the passage, you know it. God really opened my eyes, opened my heart, so I understand what Bible was saying. And after I knew what it was saying, you know, it's just about Holy Spirit, about water baptism, about Sabbath, the five major basic beliefs that is different from others. I realized that these five major beliefs is what I lack, because these five major beliefs all have Bible basis to support it, and I was not taught about them. And so at that very moment, I started to pray for Holy Spirit. And thank God, within 2 days, I got the Holy Spirit. And then what was the defining moment? It was that after I received Holy Spirit, I was in spiritual convocation. I was praying for like 3 days or 5 days already. And then I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I feel so joyful. I feel the power. And that was the defining moment. Oh, I did not in the past, there's a certain problem I cannot resolve, but with the power of God, I can control my heart. So I realize this is Holy Spirit, and this is true church. Not just the doctrine, but the Holy Spirit I got is the true one. And the funny thing is, when I come back, when I go back to church, to El Monte Church, I met some youth. They question the true church. They don't believe that we are the true church. Right? And I feel like it's kind of weird. I came back, I said, this is a true church. And they said, no, you come to the wrong place. This is not a true church. And then I said, what? I know what I believe in because I was from other churches, and I come here because I know what Bible said. Okay, I debate with them. But eventually, people who do not believe in true church, all church is true church, eventually they eventually left the church because what come to this one? I mean, any other one is okay too. So later on, they disappear from church and also disappear and left God's grace.
Does Preacher Lang or Preacher Hu, do you want to comment?
No? I don't want, no comment.
That's enough, I think.
So how did you personally come to TJC? I was born in TJC. Without studying in truth, without repentance. Born in this way.
And, you know, there's so many questions. I think if we have another hour, I don't think we can finish it. I don't know. Either you can come up and talk to us pastors privately for the rest of questions, because I think one more hour, I don't think we can finish all these.
We were going to rest for about, actually just right after this question, we're going to rest for 5 minutes, and then continue on through the prayer session through this.
Through the prayer session? So there's no
session? We will have prayer session, but the sermon is actually would be the Q&A to try to finish it up.
We'll pray it.
Okay. All right. So I think number two is finished.
So preacher, I just want to give chance to Preacher Hu if you don't have anything.
How did you personally come to TGHE? I didn't attend before I was baptized in TGHE. I don't really attend other churches, but I experienced how the non-believers, non-Christians' life was. So I compare in Christ and out of Christ, how big difference is. Okay, so who believe in the one true God? Comparing those who worship in the idols. The difference just like heaven and earth to me. It's so different in all different aspects. Yeah. So when I come to the church and then listen to the gospel, I was touched. This is what I want to be. You know. Because I experienced how the truth can make us free. Free from so many things. So we are so blessed in Jesus. So that's why when I make a determination to be baptized in the church, no regret, no turning back, just follow. And this is the church. The more I study, the more assurance I have. Yes, this is the church, what Lord Jesus established at the end time. For preparing his second coming. So, if we have any doubt about church, this is the time we have to study even more. You compare it, and even not. We continue to number three. Have you attended services at another church denomination in the past before? After I was in TGC. More than 30 years ago, about 35 years ago, with a group of fellowship of the youth, we went to a different denomination to attend their service to see what happened, because we are so curious about how the service proceed in their church, right? So in the fellowship, youth fellowship, we, as a group, we probably have five or six youth together. We just went to the a neighborhood church to attend it. You know what make me so shocked, you know what? After you enter the chapel, sit on the pew, before the pastor come out to preach it, and you know what happened? The back, offering back, pass over. You have to give the money, right? Everyone just try to find a coin or money to put in, because we don't know the situation. In TCC, never, right? You don't know. You come to attend the service, you have to pay the money in front of people. So we are so embarrassed because we don't have money, cash. You know, finally some brother get some coins. Kang, because it is so, means you just put the coins, right? So embarrassed. It's a big change, big difference. Wow. This is before the speaker deliver sermon, they give money first to see how much they receive, and they decide how much effort they want to put in to preach. Difference. And what they preach in this particular sermon, I totally forgot. Because compared to GJC, what we have learned, well, they just like a show to me, a show. But this is the one particular the church in Taiwan when I attend, but not every church like that, I believe. But this is what my personal experience about it. Very different.
So question number three still?
We can rest for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, so we're going to go ahead and rest for 5 minutes, so just a bathroom break, and we're going to go ahead and continue when we come back. Let's pray in silence. Amen.
Amen.
The position. Position is supposed to be right. Fine. Fine.